Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Todd Akin. Todd Akin, as you may recall, has been a congressman, U.S. congressman, actually for many, many years. Then he ran for the Senate for Missouri in 2012 and made a blooper in a television program. And that ended up not only costing him the election, but also his reputation. And he wrote a book, by the way, about 2 years after the experience, called Firing Back, Taking on the Party Bosses and Media Elite to Protect Our Faith and Freedom. And this book is well worth reading, and we'll tell you at the end of this little segment how you can get a copy. But Todd, thank you so much for joining us.
It's just a pleasure to join you, Jerry. We've gone back a long way, and we had some great interviews before.
Yes, exactly. In fact, let me just say this by prefacing things. I work as a TV producer, still do actually, for what is now known as D. James Kennedy Ministries. And in 1992, I was asked I was given an assignment to actually go and see this state representative in Missouri. And it was you, Todd Akin, and your family. And so we spent a day and a half or so in your home, traveling around with you. You went to a school. You went to a Christian radio station. We even went to the capital of Missouri in Jefferson City. It was the one and only time I've ever been there. It was with you. And the interesting thing is, the part of the whole focus of the segment for Dr. Kennedy's television program was the idea that you are a seminary grad and you chose, in a sense, the ministry of politics. And then, jumping forward, after you became a U.S. congressman, you were very much involved and very helpful to the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship, and you even won the award as the Statesman of the Year. So we do indeed go way back. Not only did we do that interview back in 1992, but then when you were a congressman, we did several interviews for the ministry. So I really appreciate that and appreciate all you've done for the ministry. You've been a great friend of the cause.
Well, I'll tell you what, D. James Kennedy was always one of my heroes, and there's nothing changed about that even to this day. In fact, I'm hoping we can get into this segment a little bit on the problem in the church today and people's unwillingness to deal topically with critical topics. And I think that's a place where we're really losing ground as conservatives and as Christians, because the Bible has a whole lot to say about major issues, and yet our pastors are silent on those issues. I think it's a tragedy.
Now, and I think also, speaking of tragedies, honestly, if you don't mind if we talk for a few minutes about your case, since your whole book does, Firing Back. It's almost as if the 20 years of the work that you did was undone by six unfortunate seconds. Do you mind if I actually just have the actual quote here from when you were on this television program? People may remember this. It aired, I believe, in September of 2012. You were interviewed by a very hostile interviewer on a local St. Louis TV station, and he was asking you about abortion and specifically about rape, and this is what you said. I'm going to go ahead and quote you and then have you unpack all this. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down, but let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be on the rapist and not attacking the child. End of quote. That's what you said, and as I say, those six seconds, because they were so taken out of context and just so magnified, really, magnified beyond reasonable proportion, that's what undid you. But your comments from your perspective.
Well, just to clarify, when I made that statement, I was dead tired, and sometimes we're not as clear when we're tired. Mm-hmm. And my point was that stress affects fertility. There are a whole bunch of studies that substantiate that. I'm not a doctor. I can't prove it. But there's a lot of people that say when somebody's being raped, it's a terribly stressful and horrible experience. But it tends to reduce the number of pregnancies. However, there is a whole organization of people who were born when their mothers had been raped. And they're wonderful people. They were friends of our campaign.
Rebecca
Kiesling.
And
we never meant to say, and we never did say, that you couldn't get pregnant if you've been raped. Of course, that's what the media turned it to. But it was amazing to me. The thing that was most sticks in my mind going back, Jerry, is within a week of the media picking up and making me not just the national bad guy, but it went international.
Yeah.
Within that week, Bill Clinton is getting a standing ovation at the Democrat National Convention. Now, here's a guy who's been a sex predator for 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's well proven, well documented.
Yep.
And he's actually doing physically things wrong, whereas I said something that people wanted to take out of context. Now, what is the difference between somebody who has a long history of being a sex predator and somebody that is unclear in the comment they make regarding rape? It just seems so out of proportion. But, you know, when you take a look at the facts, the liberal media, that is the national media, are total enemies of people who are Bible believers and apply the Bible to political topics.
Mm-hmm. And
they're bad guys.
Yeah, and I think the phrase, I mean, you yourself, and I even saw ads where you said, look, I blew it. Have you ever said something that you wish you could take back? You didn't clarify what you meant. And I think the phrase that really bothered people the most was, quote-unquote, legitimate rape, because there is no such thing as legitimate rape.
Right, and in the context, anybody who was trying to understand what I was saying with just half a semblance lack of bias, look, rape is not legitimate. It's a legitimate claim of rape is what I was meaning.
In other words,
claim their rape, but that doesn't mean they really were.
Yeah.
I didn't put the word claim in. I just shortened it. I said legitimate rape. And then now the funny thing is people are using the term legitimate rape all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's a legitimate claim of rape. No rape, of course, is legitimate.
Right, exactly. And talk about the double standard. You know, somebody like Joe Biden would make all kinds of bloopers, you know, on a semi-regular basis. In fact, somebody on the internet compiled audio, and we have 1 minute and 18 seconds of Joe Biden. Let's hear some of the bloopers and so forth that he has right now.
Chuck Graham, state senator's here. Chuck, stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about?
You don't know my state. My state was a slave state. My state is a border state. My state is the eighth largest black population in the country. My state is anything from a northeast liberal state.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be Vice President of the United States of America. Let's get that straight. She's a truly close personal friend. She is qualified to be President of the United States of America. She's easily qualified to be Vice President of the United States of America. And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me, but she's first rate.
The Villages, America's friendliest hometown. The Villages, America's friendliest hometown. The Villages.
Well, that's Joe Biden, you know, shooting off the mouth, and yet he never got crucified for the stupid things he said.
Well, of course, that's the point. The media is not fair or objective in any way. And they're, of course, doing the same thing to Trump. Everything the media can do to try to make him stumble or cause him trouble or to go after people that he's appointed and the thing is that as Christians we cannot allow the media to pretend to be open-minded and objective when in every regard they're hard left.
Well, on your on page 126 of your book Firing Back, you talk about this strategy, and you said this: one liberal group selects something that has been done or said that can be misunderstood or misquoted so as to create resentment and controversy. Two, they intentionally misrepresent the meaning of what was said or meant. Three, they act outraged and deeply offended. Four, they urge all in their group to actively participate in their verbal stoning party. Five, they corner public figures and ask them if they are as outraged as everyone else. Six, they get the target to apologize, then reject the apology as not sincere enough. And it goes on and on and on from there. And I think that's so well put.
Well, you know, that's what we saw when they had the tape of Trump, or the words of Trump in his locker room comments.
Right.
And after that came out, then the media pulled the same thing, and the stupid Republican leadership, that is the different congressmen and senators, the media comes up to him and says, "Hey, Ann, what do you think about this? Can you justify supporting somebody who makes some comment like this?" And then what they do is they get the different Republicans to say, "Well, I'm not going to support somebody like that," because they're all afraid for their job. You know, instead they should say, you know, there's a lot of difference between saying something and the Benghazi incident or the Fast and Furious incident. Yeah. You know, what you need to do is to come back to the facts. And so they splinter the different Republican people who are all afraid for their jobs, and they say, "Oh, I can't support Trump," you know. And, of course, the real issue was which direction you want the country to go. It wasn't whether you like Trump or whether you like Hillary. It's, do you really want to see more and more abortions and Christians persecuted for their faith and all manner of things that were going on under Obama?
Hmm. Now, this book, Firing Back, is a book that people can get if they, if they drop an email to you at todd@akin.org.
Right.
No crazies need apply, please. In terms of, I can't imagine what kind of emails you sometimes get.
Yeah, just send us an email and let us know you want a copy. I'll get you a signed copy. And if you want to put in there what you want me to write in the book, I can do that for you, too, as long as it's not a huge article. And we'll shoot you out a copy.
Wow, that's nice of you.
They're $20 signed autographed copy.
Sure. Okay.
Back.
How about unsigned?
You can get them on whatever it is and get them a lot cheaper.
Sure. Okay, you mentioned that you feel, as somebody who trained for the seminary, that there's not enough boldness in the pulpits today. There's not enough addressing today's issues. So Christians aren't really equipped to deal with this political and cultural milieu that we're in today. And so we're losing the culture, aren't we?
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the funny thing is to be talking to you from the D. James Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Dr. Kennedy was probably the best person at doing topical sermons. And he would just go right into the Bible, take all of his reasoning from the Bible, and explain a given topic. And that's just not done in our churches today. Let me give you an example. I'm a graduate of the PCA seminary. I go to all sorts of churches, particularly when I was campaigning. And when I got done listening to 80 or 90% of the sermons that I heard, I would give you this as a summary. You could almost put on a big rubber stamp: theologically solid, boring, and irrelevant. And that's what's killing us. Let me give you I'm an old guy now. I've sat in churches for years. And I've been told that if you preach through the Bible, your congregation's going to know what they need to know. I have never heard, just walking into a church and hearing a sermon, I've never heard a sermon on what the Bible has to say about education. Now, you look around, you look at all the kids in the church, and you think, don't these people want to know what the Bible says about education? I've never heard a sermon other than from D. James Kennedy about what the Bible says about economics. By the way, one of his great sermons, The Bible and Socialism or Bible and Economics. People are afraid to preach on those things.
Or they do it the other way, where they'll distort it. They'll say, "Oh, look, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, this teaches socialism." Dr. Kennedy points out, no, using that very passage, it teaches against socialism. This property belonged to them, and they could do with it. Their crime was not holding back from socialism. Their crime was lying to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And so what you see now is you see many supposedly conservative churches are not growing. And you're finding that a market research kind of survey that was done says it's called Already Gone. It says you're 15, 16-year-old kids in an average evangelical church, two out of three of them will, in years to come, only go to an Easter or Christmas service.
Wow.
They're just not coming back to church. And I think the reason is that a church that will not deal with the great questions of the day is going to be irrelevant.
Wow, Todd, we're out of time, and maybe I can have you back on sometime, and we'll discuss more. But
if you pick a time, I'd love to join you, Jerry.
All right, good. And again, the name of his book is Firing Back, and you could get a copy, $20, Todd, T-O-D-D, at Akin, akin.org. Todd, thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Jerry. Thank you.
All right, thank you now. Bye-bye.